We are keeping our eye on El Capitan at Yosemite. And this is, I guess, a little bit weird, but we do have a rock climbing correspondent. His name is Pete Dronkers. Yes, he is my brother, and he joins us now from Colorado. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I should mention that Pete underwent like major surgery in his sinus cavity yesterday, so he's resting up and you're not at your peppiest, right, Pete?
Yeah, going from pretty invasive surgery to a phone radio interview in 16 hours.
So, you're a hell of a climber. I have described you, like, if this was the movie Twins, you are the Schwarzenegger and I'm the DeVito. You have climbed, you've got first ascents on major peaks, big walls around the world, Pakistan, Canadian Arctic, and climbing is your thing. Is a little bit weird to have all this media attention on your little sport this week?
Yeah, it is. Well, this isn't the first time this has happened, because the climb that's being done in Yosemite right now was first done in 1970, and there was, some say, more media attention with that climb, the first ascent of the Dawn Wall, than there is now. But it seems that what's happening is the publicity is sort of following, because the original ascent in 1970 was so high profile and was at that time by far the largest media spectacle for climbs that I had ever heard of. And there's some stuff before that in Patagonia that was pretty high profile too, but that was definitely a big deal. And so now that it's being free climbed, people are all over this.
So what is free climbing? How do you explain that to a 9-year-old?
It's climbing with your hands and feet only, and the rope and other equipment only to catch you if you fall. So that's different. When I've climbed El Capitan, I've generally done free climbing and aid climbing, but I've never free climbed the whole thing. So I'm always putting in gear in the cracks and using it to put my body weight onto to ascend up the rock. So I do both ways, but to free climb El Capitan is extremely elite, and it's a very small percentage of people that are capable of that. And what they're doing now is the hardest free climb that El Cap's ever seen. So
it's not like free climbing. It's not like they just, walked to the base of El Cap and saw the route, and then they're like, okay, let's just chalk up and go. I mean, they've got haul bags. They've been on that rock for how long now?
I think today's like day 17 or 19 or something like that. And I don't think they've come down at all. I think they wanted to make this the big final push, and they wanted to do it. But, they first started this project like 2 or 3 years ago, and they've been going up and down working on these pitches for years. And they first kind of had the idea, I guess, about 7 years ago when they first started piecing it together. But, you got to understand that Caldwell is really one of the most prolific guys that's ever been on the scene in Yosemite, because he's free climbed more routes on El Capitan than anybody else has. I think he's free climbed like 12 or 13 different routes. This is just another one. And that's something that the media is not picking up, is that, Caldwell has been innovating on El Cap free climbing for a long time. And, it's funny how they're not quite, I don't see anybody really pointing out his long history there. And that was predated by other people like the Huber brothers, who were really active in the 90s. And they were some of the, and before that, Todd Skinner and some of the guys that were really starting this whole idea of being able to free climb El Capitan, which was first free climbed in 1994 by a woman named Lynn Hill. So this free climbing on El Cap is nothing new. I mean, people have been doing this for, 20, 21 years or whatever. So
now you've done El Cap a few times, right?
Seven times.
You've climbed El Cap 7 times, and like you said, you've done part of the Dawn Wall. I know you've done Tangerine and some different routes in there. Can you try to explain the smoothness of the rock on the Dawn Wall?
Yeah, so I've climbed on both sides of it, but I haven't climbed the Dawn Wall. The Dawn Wall is really one of the steepest pieces of, all of El Cap, at least on the southeast face. All of El Cap is steep, but the southeast face, which is that big prow in the middle called the nose, like when you look at it from the valley, you got the big obvious prow that comes out, looks like a nose. And everything to the right of that is the southeast face, and all that stuff is pretty darn steep. But like the really, really steep blank part is pretty much the Dawn Wall. And But the Don Wall, you know, there's like 90 routes on El Cap now. So the Don Wall, you know, you could be technically on the Don Wall, but you could go 30, 40, 50, 60 feet out either side. You'll probably be on some variation or some other route. So it's just left of the North America Wall, which is also really steep. But this thing is particularly steep and blank. There's not a whole lot of features on it. So when it was first climbed in 1970, it was really, really cutting edge aid climbing with a lot of like hook moves and really tricky aid climbing. It made it fairly dangerous. And, you know, one of the things I wonder about this climb is how they've changed the nature of the route, because I noticed that it seems like they've added some bolts to it, which makes it a little bit less adventurous and a little easier. But I don't quite know the details. It's just something I'm wondering, because anytime somebody comes up to an existing route and modifies it from the condition of its first ascent and makes it easier and less dangerous, then that really sparks a lot of controversy in the climbing community. I don't know about this particular climb. It seems like they're doing it in pretty good style, but it's just something to be aware of, you know?
So in terms of the adventurousness of it, these guys, Tommy Caldwell, I think you've been to his house, right?
Yeah, I actually had dinner with him once. He's super, super nice. I liked him a lot. He's great.
But the adventurousness of it is being pointed to in a very dramatic way. And I think some of that has to do with the sexiness and the proximity of the mountain itself. It is the main venue. It's the Yankee Stadium of big wall climbing. Would you agree with that?
It is certainly the most well-known big wall in the world, you know, just because it's been climbed on for longer than, you know, the big stuff. There's bigger stuff around the world, much bigger. But, you know, it all sort of, big wall climbing arguably started in Yosemite Valley. And, you know, first it started on Half Dome, and then, you know, then El Cap was climbed a couple years later. And the way El Cap was first climbed was in very pure style. And, you know, there was a lot of, the second time it was climbed, it was climbed in really pure style. The first time it was climbed in arguable style. So there's this debate about the style, about the way it was approached. It's basically been raging since the first ascents in the 1950s.
That is going to be a debate that will never, never end. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with, of all people, my brother Pete, who has spent some time on El Cap and Seven Ascents. And it is squarely in the spotlight today, as these guys are very, very close to finishing the free climb. So let's talk about the difference between more conventional big wall climbing, which often involves, you know, a week hike to get to the foot of the mountain, whereas this thing you can drive up and you can park. Like, what are some of the main differences between the climb that everybody's staring at today and what most big wall climbers go through?
Well, I mean, El Cap is pretty accessible by most people's standards. I mean, it's like a, you know, even with a super heavy pack, it's only like at most an hour approach, you know. So it's accessible. I'm not going to devalue it because, you know, some of the hardest, scariest stuff I've ever done in my life has actually been on El Cap. But, you know, it can be very adventurous. But I think, you know, when I've done it, you know, I go up, there's nobody else around, you know, we're on our own, and we're generally only fixing a few hundred feet of rope before we commit to going up the wall. This ascent is being done a lot differently, and so they've got ropes fixed all over the place. There's like people coming up from the ground, bringing them fresh food, and, you know, rappelling off the top, and camera crews all over the place. And, you know, it's a much, much different scene. You know, the amount of stuff that they have up there is like way more than I would ever have up there, you know. So I'm not saying it's like, you know, that they're sissies or anything. They're obviously incredibly talented. This is the hardest free climb on a big wall that's ever been in the world, probably anywhere. But you have to just consider the context, right? So, you know, the rating is 514, which is very, very hard. And there are many 514 pitches and many 513 pitches. So combined, it's the most challenging free climb on any big wall in the world. We know that. But you have to compare that to, like, another adventure where, say, you go to Pakistan or Baffin Island, where I've climbed, and, you know, you're out there a month and you have no support, and if something goes wrong, it's pretty serious. And, you know, you could be climbing at substantially easier grades than 514. You could be climbing at 511. But, you know, the whole experience is just crazy, crazy difficult and adventurous. And Caldwell has done tons of stuff like that. He's put up routes all over the world. And in fact, last year, he did a very, very difficult and very committing traverse of the Cerro Torre spires in Patagonia, which was an unbelievable achievement. And so he knows what this stuff is all about, but this particular climb is just, you know, being what it is, it just generated so much media attention. And with that comes the different style that they're approaching it with, just lots of people everywhere, lots of fixed ropes, and kind of a safety net, if you will. And a lot of work going up and down the wall for several years until, you know, they got to this point today. So it's just a lot different from some of the stuff Caldwell's done in other places in the world, which I would argue is a lot more adventurous than what they're doing now.
So again, the accessibility and the notoriety of the venue itself is part of what's fueling this thing. But in terms of the technical expertise, like, you know, it's not so much... It doesn't seem so much adventure. You know, you're not hiking 3 weeks and bribing officials in shady countries.
Right.
But you do, you know, it's gymnastics. Is that a fair characterization?
Oh, it's absolutely gymnastical. Yeah, they're pushing it very, very hard up there with almost the hardest free climbing grades that anybody's done anywhere, but they're doing it on El Cap, you know, 2,000-3,000 feet off the ground. So it's, you know, it's definitely cool. But, you know, keep in mind, Caldwell's probably spent like 200 or 300 days of his life on El Cap. Like, he knows that wall inside and out. I mean, he knows every hold on the route. He's worked it on top rope, which is when you're climbing, you know, supported by the rope above you. He's done all those pitches on top rope many times until he felt he could be strong enough to get him on lead. And so that's, they're kind of like piecing this all together over several years, where it's like, you know, there's guys that go up to big walls in other places in the world, or even in Yosemite for that matter, and they literally just walk up with like two people, two backpacks, and they what's called on-site. They just on-site it. They go up, they execute it, they free climb it in perfect form, in one push, in alpine style, and then they come down and they have on-sited the route. And I think that's really adventurous, because when you get up to a pitch, you don't know what to expect. You don't know how hard it's going to be. You don't know how dangerous it's going to be. You don't know if you're going to get a ledge after it. You don't know if there's loose rock on it. You know, that's a whole different ballgame from what they're doing here. So
are they going to walk down, or are they going to rappel down?
I'm assuming they'll walk down.
That seems like no fun. Like, all that work, like, you should at least get to wrap down, right?
Well, it's a lot faster to walk down. They probably have like 20 people that'll be up there and help them get all their bags down.
A couple more questions, and then I'll let you get back to recovering from the surgery you had yesterday. These dudes, like, you spent a little bit of time sleeping on a portal edge, which is a tent with a floor hung from the wall. That can't be fun.
Oh, I like it. What? I like it a lot.
You couldn't even stretch your legs out.
Oh, you can totally stretch out. It's really comfortable. If you set it up right, you know, it's really nice. It's quite cozy.
It sounds like a swing from hell. So
no, it's great. Once you get them up for the night, you just kick back and have some dinner and take a little nip of whiskey, and life is great.
Please do not tell me you're drinking whiskey on El Cap. I am going to forget that you said that. All right, so you've got these guys, Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Georgeson, I believe I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Do they enter the history books next to guys like Reinhold Messner and Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay?
So I don't know much about Georgeson. I think, like, he mostly came up as a sport climber in Central California. I guess he's from Santa Rosa. You know, he was a very strong boulder and gym climber, and he kind of came up that way, whereas Caldwell came up, you know, directly through his father. They lived in Estes Park, Colorado, and, you know, he lived in the center of all this really awesome alpine climbing in Colorado. So he basically entered it through the traditional mountaineering, rock climbing, you know, sort of approach, not this sort of modernistic kind of way that it seems to me that Kevin came into it. Regardless, they're both extremely strong. But Caldwell, I think, is one of the most prolific climbers of all times, for sure. But I don't say that because of what he's doing now. I go back to 10 years ago, when he was first doing new free climbing routes on El Cap. He was the one who was piecing together these lines that nobody had thought up, going out, spending tons of time up there and completing them. And so, you know, his history is long, but I do think he is definitely one of the best that's ever been on the scene. I mean, he's amazing. And he lost his finger. He dropped an engine block on his finger, and he's actually able to do all this stuff with, like, one less digit than most people have, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. They have 3G reception up there. Kevin Georgeson, he's on Twitter. Like, he's tweeting from the wall. He's like, we're going to go out and bag. What's that? That Tina, what's it called? Wino Tower? Like, there's a little.
Wino Tower, yeah.
You can just go exploring while you're on the mountain as if you didn't have enough to do.
Yeah, I saw like a live TV broadcast that I think was taken from his smart, like he was interviewing himself and it was going to live, like network television or something. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, I feel a little bit more knowledgeable about what's going to happen today, and I appreciate you picking up, and especially considering you had surgery like 16 hours ago.
Yeah. All right. You take care.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Bye.
That's my brother, Pete Dronkers. You can check him out, PeteDronkers.com. That dude can climb, man.